Hello, you're not supposed to be singing. What's up, YouTube? What happened, Ryan?
Wait, you can't say that anymore. Someone complained last time, didn't they?
They did. Did you see that?
Yeah, you sent it to me.
Oh, I see. Right, yeah. Well, hello, everybody. I pressed the wrong button, so you got to see my face, and I don't know how much you heard of me going, oh, God, no, quick, press a button. But anyway, hello, Press TV Talk Show, Sunday night live stream. I am Alex, aka Reef Talk, and with me as always is Ryan from the UK's number one coral setting website, prestigereef.co.uk. Ryan, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. A little flustered, you know, because, you know, but it's good that we maintain a certain level of inconsistency with regards to professionalism, I find.
Absolutely, and this is deliberate, because if this was like BBC level of production value and all that sort of stuff, people would switch off. They come for this kind of nonsense, basically.
I like that the very first comment on the that was put today, it says, "You're very inspiring." And then the very first thing you said was, oh God, you're not meant to see us yet.
Yeah, I know.
But yes, I'm fine. How are you?
I'm all right. I'm good. I've got a glass of water now, so I'm happy.
Oh, is that where you were?
I was, yeah. But what we started chatting like half an hour ago. Yes. I really wanted to do a magnesium test on my K tank, but you got here 5 minutes earlier than I expected you to, so I haven't had a chance to.
Oh, so it's my fault. It's my fault.
Exactly,
okay.
Right. I've had this small window. And I've got my magnesium test kit right here. So I'm ready. But you're interrupting me, basically. So, because I think I tested the other day on that. I've not tested it for months, unfortunately, magnesium. And one of my torch corals was looking a bit sad, and I was like, oh, God, let's test magnesium.
Do you dose magnesium on that tank?
I dose it as part of two parts. So Reef Sediments pH Plus part two includes calcium and magnesium.
Okay.
So technically, yes. But if you're dosing any two-part I dose, ATI before that. In fact, I think I've only ever dosed Tropic Marine, ATI, or Reef Sediments. But the two parts, I always find that the magnesium drops and you need to add it separately. And I can never get it so you dose more of the second part to balance out magnesium. I don't know if I'm doing something wrong, but I always find I've dosed it separately. And it's dropped on that.
I've always wondered that with Ulfa Reef as well, because some people swear by Ulfa Reef. And I just think, how does that work? Because, like, I dose all of my elements obviously individually, and they're all set differently. So how people get? Although I think it does say on the bottle that you do have to test regularly and adjust parameters as and when required. I think it says that, but I don't know how people are getting away with it for ages using it without even testing sometimes.
Yeah, I think they're probably getting away with it because it's not because the parameters it's keeping them perfect. It's just because corals are doing okay despite that.
Yes, that's true. Yes,
because at the end of my before I shut down my main tank, I was dosing Kalkwasser as the base, and then on top of that I was dosing two part, and I started dosing magnesium separately as well, and I was then also going to separately dose calcium.
Okay,
which is crazy, but I tried to dose more calcium on the two part, and it just wasn't happening. It wasn't increasing, and it might be because my magnesium was too low, and so it was precipitating, because that's one of the roles magnesium performs. But I can't remember what my magnesium levels was, but I could never get the second part to bump the calcium up to the level I wanted it to. So I was considering doing all that sort of stuff, but.
So you were dosing something that makes dosing easier, but then you were going to dose it more.
No.
So you couldn't be more counterproductive. Can you give me 10 seconds? It literally will take 10 seconds. I'm going to close the door just because I can hear something in the other room.
Well, this is why, go on, you crack on. This is why the stream that we did the other week when Ryan talked about his DIY dosing supplements, that's why that really appealed to me. because the, for a start, it's dirt cheap and you save a ton of money. But also, you then you have three parts. So I always use two-part dosing. And so you, the magnesium and calcium are tied together.
Yeah.
Whereas if you have three parts, it's really easy to adjust, and you can adjust any of them.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why. Plenty, that's why I use it.
Yeah. There are plenty of dosing companies that do three-part dosing. The Red Sea one is three parts: calcium, alkalinity, and magnesium. So you can do it, and that's that appeals to me. But there's something I realized that we haven't talked about that I meant to mention last week. We'll talk about it in the news. But there's a new kid on the block.
I'm intrigued. A new YouTuber?
No. Oh, there is a new YouTuber. I discovered a new YouTuber this week. But that's
why am I not surprised?
I know, because all I do is watch YouTube. Do you want me to go first on Week in Review?
Yeah, I'll let you go first.
Okay, so I'm just going to clear my throat.
No bunny suits. Yes, I was waiting for someone to say that. And Alex, are you wearing trousers today? Because obviously last time when you got up, everyone saw you weren't wearing trousers.
Last time, look, jeans as well. I wore trousers last. I always do. It'd be so weird if I didn't. Yeah, bunny. Yeah, someone mentioned that. I forgot. Someone actually followed up on Facebook or somewhere. I can't remember. somewhere. I can't remember where I saw it. But yeah, Easter is ruined. Sorry. Yeah, Week in Reefing. Right. So, first off... Alkalinity. Last week, you know, I was saying my alkalinity was 8.5.
Yes.
And you were like, oh, that's I want it at 8.4. I was like, oh, wicked, great, happy days.
Yeah.
Well, it turns out my alkalinity was 9.5.
Okay.
This is on my water box tank.
Yeah.
And I've been using my KH Keeper. I've had that running for about 3 years. And this is the first one they brought out, so the small one. That's not the KH Keeper Plus, the little one they discontinued. But that's been running solid. It's been great. But I, it suddenly about a week ago, it just told me my alkalinity was 5, and I was like, oh, something's gone wrong. When it comes down to 5 or 15, sometimes it does. That means there's a problem. So it's not pulling in reagent or whatever. There's some issue. So I was like, okay, well, let's go and pull it apart and see what the issue is. And I opened it up and ran a test, and it hardly put any water in the sample beaker. And so I pulled it apart, and it turned out all the inlet bit was clogged with algae, and there was loads of like chunky algae clogged in the tube, so it wasn't letting water in. And that had probably been. Now there's a strainer on the end of the
apparently you're quiet tonight. Sorry, that's why I look distracted.
Yeah, let me turn myself.
I can't tell the difference.
I'm going to talk like this whilst I turn myself up. It's because let me go back up to 100. There we go, 100. Yeah, I tried. Thank you for checking in, guys. I know. I've tried. I found on the. I've been listening to the podcast back.
Yeah.
And I find that my mic clips, so sometimes it gets a bit too much. And I've tried to turn it down.
I find you a bit too much sometimes too.
But I've obviously turned it down too much. So now I'm going to go back into my. Audio interface, and I'm going to try turning the input gain down that way. Let's go down to 38 dB minus -8 dB. Right, there we go. So that's back to normal now, and hopefully I'll have brought the scene down. Anyway, mic chat with Reef Talk. So anyway, the inlet of the cage keeper was clogged up with algae, and because there's a strainer on the inlet, it stops algae stuff going in there. So that means that a tiny bit had got in. And then it had just started growing, and it had taken a while, which meant that my alkalinity had been drifting probably for quite a while, and it had been getting steadily and steadily more inaccurate.
So it was actually growing inside the KH.
It was algae stuck in the tube that pulls in water. Oh, I see. Okay,
yeah.
Yeah. And so it, whatever. It, so that was there, and I pulled it apart. The original one, not the KH Keeper Plus, the original one. When it first came out, it was dead compact. And I was like, this is wicked. But actually, when you have to work on it, because it's so tiny, it's really fiddly. And it's a bit flimsy as well. So I'm glad they updated it. Anyone else who's got the original one, you'll feel my pain. But taking it apart was a real pain in the backside. But I did. And I cleaned it out completely. And then I started again, ran a test. And it said alkalinity 12.7. And I was like, oh, it's not 12.7. Come on, do it again. And I just, because sometimes they just take a bit of time need to run 5 tests. So I did it again, 12.7. So I was like, oh God, okay, let me get my my Hannah checker. So I checked that and it was like 12.7. I was like, oh God. So
much higher than it should be then.
And it's now 13.3.
So why is it going up so sharply? Or was when it was measuring, because you said that you measured it at 8 and then you said you measured it at 9, but now it's 13. So why is there
so I, I measured it. It was for the last 6 months. Or the last result was 8.5.
Yeah.
But then I realized that it was wrong. And then when I fixed it, the KH keeper, my first result after fixing it, the outlook was 12.7. So that was the true result. That 8.5 was wrong.
Okay. Have you got any, do any of the corals have any noticeable sign of not being happy?
Yes, a couple. So in fact, today I noticed a blasto is retracted and it never is.
Yeah.
And my two scullies are doing the same thing they do when magnesium is low. They just kind of look like, if you know what I mean. But that's about it. Everything else is actually doing all right. I've got a Bernard pourer that has been in trouble for a while, and that's looking a bit sad. But I don't think that might be to do with it. It might be because it's just been sad for a while. But to be fair, I've got away with it so far. But I reduced my dosing by like 70%, and it still went up from 12.7 to 13.3. So I'm thinking it'll come down. I'm going to do a water change probably tomorrow now. But it'll come down slowly because surely it can't keep going up. But 13.3, that's the highest my ALK has ever been.
I was going to say, I've never, 12 is the highest I've ever had mine. But so you now hold the record, probably for everyone in the chat, of the highest ALK.
There'll be people who've had higher than that, I bet. In the chat, if you've had higher than 13.3, tell us what your ALK is.
What's the lowest you've ever had?
5?
I'm sure. It was like 3.2 or something, and the corals were still alive until I took them out and put them in normal water, and then they died.
That's funny, isn't it? But that shows that you shouldn't make quick changes. But so it dropped on the Cade, it dropped down to like 4 or something like that. And actually, everything was fine there. But 15.
I know, I was going to say.
Happy days. But to be fair, the tank still looks really good. But the reason I wanted to talk about that, and this, we were chatting about this quickly before the chat. By the way, if the volume is better now, just tell me in the chat just to make sure.
Someone did say it was better.
Oh, cool. Happy days. I'll listen back to it. I just want to get it perfect. That's the annoying thing. And there's anyway, it doesn't matter. No one wants to hear me talk about audio. So the KH keeper. So that was my fault, right? Because I hadn't calibrated. When you calibrate the KH keeper, it says set a reminder. When do you next want to be reminded to calibrate it? And I think you can do it 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, something like that. And I always set it for the longest possible period.
Yeah.
And then when it reminds me after 3 months, I ignore it. And I don't know when the last time I calibrated that was.
It's worth setting it then.
But I bet it was at least 6 months since I've calibrated it. And that shows that you really should calibrate them regularly, because I would have spotted that actually sooner. When I calibrated, I would have spotted that problem sooner. But the good thing with that is some people set their aquarium, the alkalinity monitors, and it doesn't matter if it's Reef Factory, it can be Neptune, it can be ReefBot, it can be Mastertronic, GHL, all of them is the same. Some people set them to control their alkalinity. And if I'd been doing that, there's every chance that it would be dosing more alkalinity, thinking that my ALK wasn't 13 when actually it was.
That's good. Actually, again, if anyone in the chat is doing that, let me know, because I'm about to offend you. because I think people that do that are absolutely insane. Because that is the quickest way, as you've just seen. If something goes wrong, it goes really wrong, and it will go really wrong twice as quickly.
Yeah, it'll multiply it, won't it? But it's,
I
just don't see the point of doing that. And so the reason, in theory, having something to control your alkalinity, brilliant. If I could do that and it would work reliably, and you don't ever have to worry about it, fantastic. But the reality is, every single one of these pieces of equipment uses dosing pumps. It's a machine, and machines wear down over time. Yeah. So they need replacing and all this. So if you could be bothered to calibrate the pH probes, the dosing pumps, everything once a month, and replace all the tubes every 12 months or all this sort of stuff, replace the dosing heads every 12, all that sort of stuff, then maybe it makes sense. But to me, it doesn't make any sense to let an alkalinity robot control your alkalinity.
Yeah.
Mainly because if it tells me all of them now, the GHL one didn't for 3 years, which is crazy, but that one does now. All of them now will tell you, if you say, give me an alert if my elk drops below 7 or goes above 9. They will all ping you a little message and go, Alex, mate, go and have a look. That's all you need. And if you do that...
It still bothers you, that GHL one, doesn't it?
Oh, no, I'm over it now. But it was a bad... It's, don't bring out a cage keeper, a cage monitor that doesn't tell you if there's a problem. Anyway, whatever. But no, so they all do the same thing. So they tell you, and that's all you need. And it takes like 5 seconds to log onto your app for your Dosa, whatever it is, Red Sea, GHL, what's the one I use, Refactory, any of them. Just you log onto the app, change dosing 10 mil to 12 mil or 10 mil to 8 mil or whatever. It takes 5 seconds. So actually, the controlling the alkalinity, to me, that's not saving me any time. I've seen some people who use the Mastertronic who managed to peg their alkalinity. So it's 8.4 24/7. And that actually, in theory, I think is worth it. I don't think I want that from my tank, but I can see the benefit there. But if the only benefit you're getting is it saves you the effort of increasing and decreasing your dosing, it takes seconds. That's not effort. And I'm a lazy reefer, and I don't think that is effort worth saving.
When you said that, I'm like, hold my beer.
Yeah, exactly.
I am the laziest reefer. But I don't trust anything that controls any, like, if you see what I mean, because things fail. And look, I will fail as well. That was the thing I found really interesting about the ReefBot. It's that it takes a while to do the tests, but there is also a plus to that because it does them properly. When I'm doing them, I'm doing this.
Yeah.
Trying to get through as quickly as possible. Whereas a machine has unbelievable patience. Now, obviously, I haven't had it long enough to know what will happen long term, if you see what I mean. Like you've just said, you found a problem that other people wouldn't have necessarily... I wouldn't have thought of that 2 months in, if you see what I mean. But yeah, I still, even that, I wouldn't let control... I don't actually think it can control it, if I'm honest. But yeah, I wouldn't trust anything to dose automatically. I don't even trust auto feeders because I've seen those go wrong as well.
Yeah, that's the thing. And because ALK is so important, ALK is unlikely to crash a tank, I would say. But if my alkalinity was 13 and it was increasing the dose to get it up and it got up to 15, 16, I don't know what the cutoff point, but there must be a point with high alkalinity that it causes major problems, I bet. Yeah.
I wonder, because you just said ALK is not likely to crash your tank. I would have said that would be one of the more likely parameters to crash your tank.
Let me clarify that. I'll rephrase that then. I think ALK changing slowly over time, whether it's going up or down, is unlikely to. If your ALK went from 7 to 10 in 5 minutes, that's likely to cause your problem. And I lost a colony, a really nice acro colony that I'd had for years in my tank, because I had an elk swing.
Yeah.
I think I didn't.
I'm slightly concerned about that myself. So I'll let you finish your week in reefing, but I have an 8-foot tank of coral coming tomorrow, which I'll clarify in a second. So think about the swing that will happen with that. Yeah. And it's all SPS.
That's when, that's interesting. When these alkalinity monitors, like cage keepers, are really useful. So if you've got a new tank or if you're new to the hobby, just save your money. Just don't buy them. They're just a waste of time. But if you've got a tank packed full of coral, like my one, when any time I removed, if I either bought a load of new coral or more to the point, removed a load of coral, you can set it to test every hour.
Yeah,
and then it tells you if you're getting a, and you can say if it goes up by 0.2, tell me, and they're really, really useful, because then you can, like, when I sold all my corals, every time I sold a batch, I'd obviously reduce my dosing, and I'd have a guess. I'd be like, well, that's probably 30% of my corals gone today, so let's reduce the dosing by 40%, because I'd rather it drop too much than, you know. So, and you can do that, but if you get it wrong, having something to test every hour to tell you, because no one's going to sit by their tank going, oh, hang on, let me just add some drops of the manually test.
Yeah, yeah.
So they're brilliant for that sort of situation. But so that was my ALK oopsles. And just maintain your ALK. Do me a favor. if you've got an elk tester automatic one, just go and have a look at it, just for my safe, my peace of mind, and make sure it's all right.
And if you've got a hand checker as well, or some other form of ability to test it, just check.
Yeah, that's the thing. And actually, so that you should still. When I got the smart tester that tests my phosphate, my plan was let it do it every day. Brilliant. I get all the data. That's fantastic. But every couple of months, I'm going to do a manual test. I've not done that. I just rely on it. So I need to do that.
See, I wouldn't be able to sleep at night doing that.
Bloody hell. This is why. So I've just had a look at my phosphate. So my phosphate in my water box was 0.4. Yeah. And then I slowly brought it down, and it was 0.23. This is over the course of like 2 weeks now, I think. It was 0.23. I've just checked. It's 0.07.
Okay. So it's probably has it got an alarm on that one to tell you when it gets too low?
Yeah. And I've set it at, what have I set it at? 0.07. Yeah, 0.07. Why didn't it give me an alarm? Maybe it did. Anyway, whatever. So the plan was to test manually still, and I still need to do that, because that 0.07, for all I know, could be an outlier, it could be wrong, it could be so if I test manually, that what I should do, maybe once a month, maybe once every 2 months, do a manual test just to check, and then see it against the actual. And if I've been doing that with elk takes seconds to test on it with the Hanna one.
Yeah, true.
With the Hanna one.
Oh yeah, what was that? Was it sitting in?
Did you see that?
I did.
Sitting in a reefdork.se.com Hanna check holder.
It matches the color of it.
It does match the color, but these take seconds to do. So doing an elk test every once a month or whatever, just to make sure your auto tester is singing properly.
Yeah,
it's probably worth doing, isn't it? It's just. Yeah, it's easy to get lazy especially when you've got auto testers.
I was around long before auto testers. Were you around before auto testers existed?
Yeah, they've only been 5 years, something like that.
Oh yeah, because you've been around 7 years, haven't you?
About 10 years.
Oh, 10. I was around long before then. I've just I have some, but I will not let go of my manual tests. I just like them. But as I said, with the ReefBot, I was like, this seems to be doing it far more accurately than I do it. It's far more precise whereas, as I said, you know how when with calcium, for example, you'll just put the reagent in roughly to where you think it needs to be rather than doing one drop at a time and stirring it.
The calcium is a bad one, I think. I now don't like the calcium Hanna one, because I did the water sample. Where is it? Have we got it?
No, I was referring to the Salafat test. I haven't liked the calcium one for a long time.
Yeah, the Salafat calcium is the one. Is that the one you use?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Yeah. I like that. That's fine. It's the Hanna one. I don't like, but it's just the Salafat ones. It's really easy. I get consistent results. I never get crazy results.
Yeah.
And I did a couple of tests with the Hanna one. First one was like 420 or whatever. I was like, great. Next one, it was 200. I was like, right, I've done something wrong here. But the Salafat one, it's just straight, it's consistent, it's easy, it doesn't take long.
Dan just said, do the test yourself, it's half the fun. After 17 years, it's no fun anymore.
Yeah, I don't mind it. I used to feel like you're playing a scientist. So it used to be fun, I think. Mm. I don't mind doing it, but it's a pain in the backside. And the thing is, doing it all the time, regularly, constantly, after a period, you get just like, oh God, if I have to test magnesium one more time.
it's easy for you though. You've got quite a few tanks, haven't you? But most
three
people,
of the bastards, yeah.
Most people don't have three tanks. And I know you don't test yours manually, so.
No, if you've got just got one tank, it's really not that bad. I still get lazy with it, but it's still not. It's really not that bad.
Yeah, I have to. I sit there. It takes me about an hour, maybe a bit over an hour on a Monday. Although tomorrow's Monday, isn't it? I'm not planning to do it tomorrow. I probably will do it tomorrow. It takes me an hour of my week, and although you think it's just an hour. An hour doing that, where it's really
sitting down
boring.
Looking at tests. Yeah, yeah.
It's because it's quite boring to do.
Really boring, yeah.
Yeah.
Like doing. So I don't mind at the moment. I try to test magnesium and calcium together, but what I find is that I test magnesium and I'm like, I can't be bothered. I don't mind doing like one off, but sitting there because you've got what, three systems.
Yes.
So doing each one step by step and then calcium repeating it. Oh man, that's tedious. Especially with the, so that one of the things I don't mind with the salivate ones, the calcium and magnesium, they're quite quick. You just pour the bit in, drip, 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 done. With the HANA ones, the nitrate and phosphate, they're brilliant. But what I don't like about them is you do the shaky shake, put the reagent in, and then you press go and it sits there for 7 minutes. And what I do is I walk away and then I come back half an hour later because I've forgotten.
Yeah.
And I've got to do the bloody test again. So I have to set a reminder. And then you sit there looking at it for 7 minutes going, ah, oh, what could I be doing with my life instead of this? Like,
I literally sit basically right here when I do my water tests, and I will put the ultra low range phosphorus checker on, and then I'll do another test, and then I'll have forgotten that I put the, even though it's sitting in front of me.
I know.
I'll be doing the other test. It will have completed the test, and then by the time I've looked at it, it's turned itself off.
So even though
it's right in front of me. So
I think the phosphate one turns itself off after like a minute, but the nitrate high range doesn't turn itself off.
They need a beep. They just need
100%, 100%, a little beep at the end. When we did inventions we want to see live stream, that was one of them. Just a beep at the end, it would be so, so good. Please, Hannah, please. I'll pay another £5 for the little buzzer. I promise. I'll upgrade it.
I set the Alexa now. Just because I've got it wrong too many times.
Exactly. It's just annoying. But beep would be fantastic. We'd all love a beep. Everyone wants a beep. To be fair, it's just because then you could just walk away and I don't know. Because I'd walk away and I wouldn't hear the beep and I'd leave the house or something. I've done that before lots of times when the RO filter's on. I'm like, I'm just going to go and grab some salt. I definitely won't forget. I go upstairs and the cat's there and I'll turn the computer on. And like 4 hours later, I come down and there's like 3 inches of water in my living room.
I've done that. So when I'm in the farm now, I have to be quite careful because the tanks can drain like down the drain. And so when I do a water change, I fill the water up above, I drain it down and then fill up an extra 50%. So it gets an even bigger water change. Mm-hmm. So then obviously the next day it's still 50% too high. So I have to lower it back down once obviously all the new water's mixed in. And it takes probably about a minute to a minute and a half to drain it back down again. And sometimes I go, I know what I'll do. I'll just put the RO unit on. I walk away from it, forget it, and once it just kept draining. It literally just kept draining down the drain, and I was like, and then all of a sudden you hear, and I'm like, because then you have to try to guess how much water to put in, and obviously it's not salt water, it's fresh water, and you're not sure how much you need to use, and all the tanks have got air bubbling in them. This was months ago, but I just thought, never again. So now I literally sit there and watch it because I'm not willing to make that mistake again.
Mm. It's a pain, isn't it? And I've gone back to, I've still got three tanks at the moment, and I find actually they're all doing fine. There's no major problems. The Cade is the only one where it's got this annoying green stuff. What's it called? Euglena, I think it's called. Something like that. It's like, it looks
I know what you mean.
Green cyanobacteria. I think it's called Euglena, Euglena. It's got some of that, but it's generally fine. And I've cleared most of it anyway. But it's one of those things I need to regularly, if I need to get everything, I need to spend a bit of time on it and I'll be able to clear it. But I'm too lazy with it because I've got three of the bastards to do. And I'm finding my reef casser because I never see it. It's in my utility room attached to the kitchen. And the only time I ever see it is, so we got a toilet down there. So if like I go to the loo, it's there. Or if I'm like washing my socks or whatever, it's there. But otherwise, I never see it. And actually, that tank's doing really well on its own. I don't do water changes. I don't test the water. And it's doing great. But I still neglect it.
Why are you washing your socks in the bathroom? That's the only
question. It's the utility room. Utility room.
Oh, sorry. Yes.
Yeah.
I've never seen that tank, so I'm not sure.
No. It's doing great. Although this week, annoyingly, I've had a rock flower anemone that's been attached to the rock. It looks wicked. But this week it decided to come to the front of the tank and stick itself to the underneath the sound bed to the glass. So all I can see is the ugly underside and it's facing back towards the rock.
Nice.
It's like, I had a nice view of you before. What's going on?
They do what they want. Rock slabbers don't usually move. They're usually pretty, like, but in their state.
This is the thing, that at first they'll shuffle around a little bit. If you're lucky, you'll put it in, it won't ever move. But I tend to find you put it in, shuffle around for a little bit, and then when it sets in, it won't move for years. Yeah. But this one, it'd been in my main tank for years, didn't ever move. It was having a constant fight with a Tropic Thunder Monty that it was winning just about, but it didn't ever move. I put it in this tank. It was fine for a week, and then it started roaming around a bit, and they're just, I just hope it doesn't settle there, which I think it's going to, but.
I think they're easy to get off. You can just use a, like a credit card.
Yeah. Yeah. It's probably not hard, but
it's
just
like, no, you will go back to where I want you to be.
The thing, just stay.
It's but, probably, that filefish is probably nipping it, which says moved.
Yeah, maybe. I think he's all right, actually. But I the other day I was thinking, do you know what? Should I put some LPS in? And I was like, oh, I can't filefish. Yeah.
You could just wait. Just try.
The whole point was I wanted that to be a really bomb-proof corals only.
Yeah.
And I think rock flower anemones fall into that category. So
they're really sticky, aren't they? So yeah, most anemones.
Funny if you touch them.
Yeah, but also the foot's really sticky as well. So with most like anemones, and remember mushrooms are also a type of anemone, if you put them on something, they don't stick immediately. Whereas with rock flowers, you put them on, 10 seconds later, it's stuck. So you should be able, if you manage to get it off, you should be able to stick it down somewhere pretty easily again.
I'm just going to leave that. Oh, I can't be bothered. Oh, hang on a second. O2 Yuba says, Alex, a ReefBot lab can test more than one tank.
I saw the only that. I don't think that's true.
Have you got, which one have you got? The ReefBot Lab or the ReefBot Pro?
The ReefBot Lab is the one I have, and that's the one that doesn't test multiple tanks.
Oh, right.
Okay. There is another one which does test multiple tanks, but I don't know the name of it, but it might be the ReefBot Pro then.
Even if I had that, to be fair, I could connect it to these two because they're 4 feet away from each other, but the other one's downstairs, so I couldn't get it to do all three, but I could do, I don't, it's big though, isn't it? And one thing I found,
you've got to be really lazy if you can't be bothered. Just take a bowl of water, which is what I do, and put the tube in it and go, there you go, test that.
I am really lazy. One thing I found, though, what was I going to say? Lately. So because I've got my smart tester and my KH keeper out of the cabinet. I've always had them in my cabinet, and you can't really hear them. But what I found now, I've got them out of the cabinet. So this one, it's sat behind the microphone. There it is.
Yeah.
That's the KH keeper. And what it does, every on the hour, I don't know how often, maybe every hour, but at least a few times a day on the hour, it turns on the magnetic stirrer to keep the water stirring so it doesn't goop up.
Yeah.
And I'm sat here at my desk, like working away. And then you just hear this. And it's like, will you shut up?
I knew that would annoy you.
But I've never noticed it before. Until now, I've got them sat outside. And because it's two of them, they both turn on at the same time.
Yeah.
And they're like, ooh.
How long for?
30 seconds, not long. It's not that bad.
Yeah.
But it's just,
why have you taken that?
Because these two tanks are very small and the cabinets are tiny. Whereas on the Red Sea tank, I had a big dry section, which is where they were. I don't want them sitting above the sump.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah. Although, actually, to be fair, the cage keeper on the water box is sat above the sump. But, yeah. Other things that have been going on a week in reefing. I've got my aquascape for the new tank arrived. Do you want to see it?
Yes.
Bosh.
Not my type of aquascape.
So that's top down. This is from RR Aquascapes, and this is not sponsored. I bought this, I paid full price. It's quite expensive stuff. But it's brilliant. And there's a couple of things with this. So these are obviously, they've all got these little holes in them for frag plug holes.
Yeah.
This is the same one that I use on my water box one. It's the exact same design, just different dimensions. But what I asked for this time was, I was like, last time with my water box ones, it's fantastic, but all of the frag plug holes, those little stalks, they're really close together. So they're like 2 inches away. And that means that when your gunnies, well, all your corals grow, they start touching each other really quickly. So this time I said, can you spread them out a bit? So they're much more spaced out. So these are a lot more spaced out, which means there's not as many spaces for corals, but they're fantastic. And the top half of both of these are in two pieces. So the top half comes off, which means it's going to be much easier to put it in the first place. I don't risk dropping it. And if I ever need to frag, I can just pull the top half of the scape out really easily.
Yeah.
So these will be at either end of my my tank, and then the current one that's in the water box, which is the same but smaller, will be in the middle. Why don't you like that scape?
Well, same reason probably a few other people don't like it, because someone's described it as a candle holder, a cake tray, or a Christmas tree.
Yeah, to be fair, they're all valid comparisons.
It doesn't look natural to me. Like, that's that. I mean, it might. I mean, your water box is the same, isn't it? You have that sort of rock in your water box, and you. To be fair, once it's covered in coral, you don't notice it.
Exactly.
But yeah, that acrylic doesn't look. It looks very man-made. Yes,
that's fair. When it's great, then yeah, you're completely right. I have no objection to that. I have no objection to people describing it as a candle holder either, or a Christmas tree. I think that's a fair comment. I'm trying to pull up a photo now of the.
How did you get that rock? Because they're saying it's shut down, that website.
Oh no, that's nonsense, and you know it's nonsense because you posted that on Ultimate Reef, and I then ordered this afterwards. So, this is what it looks like in my my water box tank. So that is the same. That looks exactly the same. Only, of course, this isn't glaringly white like that porcelain stuff.
Yeah, yeah, that's
and everything's all spread out. It looks fine. And actually, someone asked about fish. Is there space for fish to hide? Yeah, there is. And the fish hide in the water box one really easily. And on this one, I made sure the central part was a bit tighter, so there are better hidey places. So it's not everyone's cup of tea. But when that's covered in corals, it's going to look sweet.
I think that it would look. I know you're not going for SPS corals, but I think it'd look good with SPS corals, which is what your other tank was, isn't it?
Yeah, and so actually, I had one of those. I had on my SPS tank. I bought one of those islands as well towards the end, and that was covered in SPS frags, and it would have looked really good too. But I might still with this. I might find that I do LPS for 2 or 3 years, and then I'm like, "Yep, done that. Now let's go SPS. Rip them all out.
Lift the frag plug out, can't you?
They do encrust onto the stems annoyingly over time. But most of them, I'll be able, a lot of them, like I've got a chalice I've had for ages. That's not encrusting down, that's just encrusting out. So a lot of them, I'll just be able to lift them out and then whack a load of acros in, turn the lights up, turn the flow up. Bob's your uncle.
Can I see the picture again? You might be able to tell me. You just had a response saying it's not nonsense. I just wonder if are the frag plugs just holes, or are they? Do they actually sit into the rock work? Do you understand what I'm trying to get at? Does the hole plug sit in, or just the stem?
Hang on, let me pull up my my thing again.
Probably shouldn't say things like that for the people. So it's just the hole, isn't it? Or is it?
Oh, so as in, does the hole go all the way through?
No, I'm wondering if it's just the stem of the frag plug that fits in, or does the whole frag, so the top of the frag plug is flush?
Oh, I see. Yeah. The frag plug sits flush. It doesn't sit poking.
Oh, that's actually quite nice. I didn't realize it was like that.
They're wicked. They're really, really good. So that scape has arrived. The other thing I want to talk about was the thumbnail was choosing corals.
Yeah.
And the reason I thought about this was because I was looking at my cave tank, and you can't really see because the white balance is set for my face, not for corals. Oh, you can actually can. Let me
do that. You've only got green star polyps in that tank.
Let me put over it. Where is it? Get out of the way. I'm trying to. You can see there anyway. That trumpet coral, right?
Yes.
Looks quite bright, yeah?
Yes.
And that's the coral that's on the thumbnail. It looks so bright. I don't know if it was one of your Uber nuclear, whatever it is. But they're brilliant. They're really, really good. And it's just super bright. And what I realize is I don't care if the corals in the tank are fancy. I just want them to look good.
Yeah.
So although I've kind of... trumpet coral is the kind of coral that I've scoffed at in the past. It's like, but actually, it's really nice coral. So
yeah, they are nice.
If it's as bright as that, then I'm happy.
I actually quite... So I have, I think, 3 or 4 maybe different types of trumpet coral. And I actually think the normal green ones are actually the least interesting ones. So those ones. The other ones aren't as brightly coloured. They're probably not in stock on the website. I don't think they're on there. Yeah, I thought you might. But I've got ones that sort of got like a reddish brown. I actually prefer the second picture.
This one.
I like that one.
That's boring.
Oh, it's not boring.
It is. It's like, all bland. And
that is actually a really popular seller. I would say that sells more than the other one, I think.
I like this one, which is the kryptonite. Yeah. But I'm a simple creature. I just like stuff that is bright and glows.
Yeah. So I like stuff that you don't see very often.
Oh, hang on. That's member questions. Yeah, fair enough. I just like stuff that is cool. But I'm trying to choose coral, and I'm trying. What the one of the mistakes I made on my last tank with the Peninsula 500 was I bought all those. The island I sold to you was a great example.
Yeah,
they were all blue or green or different shades of blue and green. Actually, individually, yeah, the corals look spectacular, but when you cover one entire island in blue and green corals, it's so boring.
Yeah,
and I made that mistake a couple of times. Whereas in the water box, the colours are much, much better. The placing is much better. So red next to green, it looks really good. Just get a colour wheel and see what looks good. And opposite pink and yellow, I think, are good. And just, but anything that's bright looks really good. And I'm trying to do that. I'm trying to do that for this one, so I don't just end up with like 1/3 of the tank is red. And so it's a bit more kind of.
It's interesting because you only really get to this level of reefing, like where you're starting to think about that sort of stuff after a long period of time.
Yeah.
And it seems so basic if you think about it, but most people just think, actually, you know what? I'll just put this here and I'll put this here and hopefully it will survive.
But the thing is, I've known about that for a while and I've thought about it. I've talked about it before, but I go out and I buy a coral. I'm like, oh, that's a cool coral. I like that one. And I put it on the same spot.
Yeah,
and then it's just like, don't do that. Actually, think about it. Put some thought into it.
I can't remember the last coral that I bought that was actually for me. That's genuinely really true. I literally cannot remember. So sometimes I will buy corals from shops with the idea of propagating them, or if it's big enough, if I can go, well, I'll even pay the full shop price, but I still think I can frag that and sell it. Whereas I can't think of the last coral that I actually wanted for me. I think that's what I need to do. I think I know you've said this before. I need to start going to shops and going, well, I don't care about paying, you know, shop prices for things, and just getting and just finding something that's exciting for me that I don't see elsewhere. Or the other option is buying from other reefers, because they all have weird and wonderful things. And I mean, there's loads of stuff on eBay as well.
Ultimate Reef is brilliant for that. That's I get most of my nicer corals, not necessarily expensive, but just nice corals from Ultimate Reef, because other people tend to get better variety of corals than the import. An importer will get the same, and all shops will end up with roughly the same sort of thing.
Yeah.
Whereas the more unusual stuff tends to come from hobbyists.
Yeah.
So yeah, Ultimate Reef is brilliant for that. I'm on there all the time. I almost bought a trackie today that was ridiculously cheap, and he changed his mind, which I don't blame. But it was really nice. But I've had some of my nicest gonnies are off Ultimate Reef.
There was so before Brexit, I used to buy corals from Nordic Reef over in Europe. I think it was Nordic Reef. Is it Nordic Reef? I'm pretty sure. There was another company I also used to buy from Amblard as well. And I swear the corals I used to get from them was so good, and I've never seen again. So I don't know if you saw recently, I put a picture up of a blue war coral on my Instagram account saying, has anyone got, I've sold loads of this.
Yes, I saw that.
Has anyone still got this? Because I want some back because I didn't have any anymore. I have found some. I found, I think, one person of all the people I sold it to. I even sent emails, personal, like private emails,
really?
To these people going, this was one of my favorite corals. I want it back. Yeah, that one. Because I've just never seen it again. And it's a coral which is, it sells well. You're the look on your face says you don't like it.
No, I mean, it's blue. So when the blue lights go on, it's just going to look.
I don't know. I can't really remember. I just remember really like it, because you get war corals in green and red and a mix of green and red, but you don't. I've never. That's the only blue one I've ever seen, and no one else, other than someone who I sold it to. Of all the, I think 2,000 or 3,000 people saw that post. Only one person went, yeah, I've still got a piece of it.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting.
So it must be relatively rare. And that, I said that came from Germany somewhere. Oh, not Germany. Nordic Reef was, I can't remember. They're like Holland or somewhere, I think. Somewhere like that.
Norway. What Norway. Is Nordic? Is Norway, Denmark, no. Iceland?
Maybe.
I don't know. Anyway, but yeah, okay. And so you, not many people frag war corals, though. Like hobbyists don't generally.
Yeah, that's true. Because
Will you be able to get one back? Do you think?
Yeah, yeah. The guy lives an hour away. We've already agreed a price and everything. Yeah, he might actually be listening. He might be in the chat.
I seriously hope if you're watching this, it's you. You've got prestige by the balls here.
I knew you were going to say that.
He really wants it.
I knew you.
Whatever price you've agreed, put a zero on it because he's got the money as well. Look at all those corals he sold. You know, yeah. So.
He's ready to bring down. Rare, you say. Oh, that actually might be the person that has it.
Yeah, here we go. Octes Reef. The blue favia is ready to bring down. Rare, you say.
It's not a favia, though. It's a favites.
Well, same thing.
So, I don't know. But yeah, that could be the same person. So.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. We'll put the price up because it'll pay it. So you look at that. That is a face of someone who's like, sharp, I will pay it, but sharp.
That's the face of someone who's gone, oh, yeah, I probably shouldn't have. Sometimes this feels like a private conversation just between me and you. And then you realize that everyone else is listening as well.
Yeah. So, by the way, Nordic. So someone said Nordic is Scandinavian. According to Wikipedia, Nordic is Northern European and North Atlantic. It includes sovereign states of Denmark, Finland, Iceland, Norway, and Sweden.
I think they're from Denmark. Think maybe all I know is that basically when we voted to leave the European Union, it fucked me.
when some people voted for the UK.
Yeah.
So,
but yeah,
Nordic also includes autonomous territories of the Faroe Islands, Greenland, and the autonomous region of Åland. By the way,
I'm just going to Google so I can.
I went on the website, but it just said for trade only, so I couldn't get any further. But
oh, okay.
Denmark. Startup VIBY Denmark.
There you go.
Oh, no. Anyway, whatever.
But it was great when I could get corals from there. Like, because when I get corals now, they don't send you like pictures. I used to love it because sometimes I think I spent £7,000 on coral. Just wait.
See, this is how much money he's got. Put the price up for the Favia.
No, this is the real reason. Yeah, I spent £7,000 on coral, I think, just before Brexit stopped me from being able to get coral. And after that moment, I had nowhere to get coral from at the time. Literally zero suppliers. So I just spent like tens of thousands of pounds building the coral farm. And then all of a sudden, my supply was just shut off.
God.
So I was like, right, I'm going to buy loads of stuff.
Yeah,
all in one go, just so to keep me going. But it was great because they used to send, it was an Excel spreadsheet and you had a picture of the actual coral that you would get,
Which
isn't, it's not really a done thing. It's when you import coral, it's definitely not the done thing. But with them, it was quite expensive, but it was great. And I used to sit there in the evening, about 10 o'clock at night with a glass of wine because it made spending the money easier. I'm not joking. That's actually true.
That's courage.
Yeah. And I would just buy stuff. I'd buy like, and but it's a shame.
Is that the most you've ever spent on one order?
Oh yes, definitely, absolutely.
By a mile.
Yes. Yeah, by a mile. Yes, that was it. Obviously there's a risk, so if a coral comes from a supplier and it dies, I don't get money back. It's just it.
Yeah,
if I sell a coral to someone and it dies in transit, they expect me to refund them. So if you think about it, I get hurt one way and I get hurt the other way. But luckily, both ways, it very rarely happens. And if it does happen, I just go, look, we'll sort out on the next order or whatever.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't want to lose a customer because of a 10 quid coral or something that dies. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Did you just ask Mrs. Reef Dog to bring you something?
I did, yeah.
Yes.
I sent her a WhatsApp voice note. I muted it. But so the only place I bought corals from pre-Brexit was in Europe was Euro Corals. And actually this is one of the ones that's coming to you. How many have I got left on them? I've got one last one. And it's an EC Optimus Prime acro. It's currently not looking as nice as it should because it's not done so well since I've moved it to my my water box tank. It's an LBS tank, but it's a nice coral that is. And this is what it looks like from when it's at Eurocorals.
Nice.
Although that's not a very good photo, to be fair. It looks really nice when it looks good. It looks really good. But yeah, that's I bought a load for, well, not a load because they were pretty expensive. I think that one was like 150 quid for a tiny frag.
Yeah.
And I bought a few that were really expensive. But then I would have kept buying from them because they were really good. And the delivery, the packaging was like amazing, which it has to be because it's coming from.
Yeah, of course. I wonder if we think that the corals were better. Or if you can just get those corals here and it's fine. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, the only place really that you, and I'm just going to cut away to the this is a proper, so this is what Optimus Prime looked like when it was in its prime in my tank. That looks nice. Really nice.
Sure, to you.
I do say so. Well, yeah, you don't like acrys.
Basically, anyway. Every coral in your water box looks better than that.
That's nice. Anyway, yeah. So you can get them, you can get those corals over here. But it's just hard, a bit harder to find. And there's only really one place that does spicy acros like that. And Signature Frags. And he has Optimus Prime acro. I think I talked to him about it recently. Apparently there are a couple of strains of Optimus Prime. And I'm pretty sure he has the Eurocorals version.
Yeah.
And when that's looking on point, it's just so nice. But yeah, it's a shame. But some places, there are more places in Europe and the States that specialize in high-end acros.
It's not just the acros, it's the LPS as well, I guess. So I suppose the companies which are buying the most corals from people probably get the first pick of the best corals. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
So that might be why we see some corals in other countries that, and we go, wow, look how amazing they are. Why can't we have corals like that over here? Now, I think we do have corals like that over here. But when you can't have something, you think it's better than it actually is.
yeah, for sure. But then I think, I don't know, if you look around, you can probably find that sort of stuff. But there just aren't many shops over here that do that.
Yeah, true.
That specialize in that. Ocean Project for a period was doing that sort of stuff, but not on the scale as same scale as Signature Frags.
Yeah.
And I've not been to Ocean Project for a while, so I don't know if they're still doing it. But
I don't think anything is called Ocean Project anymore, is it?
Changed its name this week, I think, on Facebook. Vision Aquatics.
Yeah.
Anyway, but yeah, there aren't many places that do that sort of acro stuff. It's a bigger thing in the States and in other places of Europe.
Yeah,
it's a shame because Eurocorals never had much LPS stuff, if anything, really, which was a shame. But I would have been buying from them still to this day if I could. So,
yeah, I wonder if it'll ever go back.
No,
as in, not necessarily it'll go back in terms of like reverse it. I wonder if it'll ever go back where there's some sort of trade deal where we could get stuff.
Yeah, I'd hope that. But to be a trade deal with
all of an industry for anyone to care about.
Exactly, it would have to be as part of a big, like it suddenly. There's doing a trade deal with Europe is difficult because it's like, well, hang on a second, you just bloody left and now you want to come back and have all the good stuff with none of the bad stuff. No, you can jog on, mate. And we've struggled to do trade deals with Canada and Australia, let alone Europe and stuff. So yeah, I don't think it's ever going to come back. And especially if it wouldn't be just for corals, it'd be tacked onto like livestock or whatever, beef. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, so, but yeah, I'm not going to hold my breath. So.
Most people, it was an inconvenience, like, or most people weren't like directly. Some people obviously would have been directly affected. It most people were just annoyed it was on the news all the time.
Yeah.
But for me, it absolutely like crippled me overnight. So it really, and I had to start buying loads of tank breakdowns as well to try to get more corals. So
do you ever do that? Oh, you've just done that.
Yes, occasionally I will do it, but not as often as I used to. So yeah. I have a very brief week in briefing if you want me to do it. Although I'm glad you've managed to drag it out 54 minutes.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Because I said to you at the beginning, I got nothing to talk about. So right. So update on the quarantine tank. Fish are all white spot free. I think tomorrow is the day when they officially finish their first 14 days of quarantine.
Okay.
So you can literally see they don't have any white dots on them anymore. They will be staying in quarantine for a period of time longer than that. There is, however, one fish that I cannot catch in the water box. Yes, my life has been like that for a very long time.
Day 12.
That's day 12. Well, yeah, and that was posted yesterday, I think, wasn't it? Or day before, maybe. I am still trying to catch that assessor. There is a yellow assessor. It is either the smartest fish or the dumbest fish. It will not go in the trap. It doesn't even show any interest of going in the trap. Most of the fish will sort of like hang around by the edge, a bit nervous. 14 days in, they still don't. It still doesn't care. I've tried not feeding it for 4 days. Does not care. And it knows that there's food in the water because it starts to eat random particles floating around and then spits them out. So it knows that there's food there, but it will not go into the trap to get the food.
Yeah, because it thinks you're going to eat it.
So what I've now done, which isn't on Instagram yet, I have now covered the trap in rock.
Oh, that's the photo I was looking for, but you must have WhatsApped.
No, I WhatsApped it to you, yeah. So I now covered the trap in rock to see if I can get it to feel more comfortable with it, obviously, with it going in. But it just doesn't, seem to, you have to be a bit closer than that. No, you can't, I can't see it anyway.
No. There is the new version of this camera has a mode that when you put something up there, it's called product showcase mode. It focuses on it, but this doesn't do that, and it cost me a grand to do it. I'm not sure it's worth it anyway.
What I found quite so every so often you'll do things and you'll go and you'll get reminded of something. Now, when I put the rock in, I used actual real live rock, like dead real live rock from the ocean. Yep. And when you put it in, it was like the bubbles that came out of that. It looked like an actual bubble, like an air machine thing that makes loads and loads of bubbles in a tank. When I put the rock in, that happened, and then I thought, this is this is how porous real rock is, because it's nothing like that these days, is it?
The man-made stuff, that RR Aquascapes bit that I've got, whenever I put that in, bubbles pour out of it. So it is the same. So that is really heavy, that Aquascape. And when you tap it, it sounds like you're tapping metal. It's really weird. But it's always been the same. But it's heavy. So it's not like some live rock you get is really light. It's like a big chunk, but it doesn't weigh much.
Yeah.
And that suggests to me it's really porous, whereas this stuff is rock solid. But
this is really, really light, this rock.
Yeah, that's good.
And I had like this little bit of nostalgia and like sadness when I put it in. I was like, oh, this is what it used to be like, when life was easier.
Do you know, and even the last time I bought live rock was about 3 years ago when I set up the water box proper. It was Aussie live rock from Reef Keeper Wind, Moss End. And I bought about 20 kilos. It was £25 a kilo. That's going to be confusing if you're American. £25 sterling per kilogram. Yeah. It's really expensive, but I was like, I'm going to do it. And I put it in and it was just bare. There was nothing on it. And then whereas normally you've got stuff creeping all over it. But after a few weeks, I started to see a few stomatella snails and then some of those tiny little brittle stars and those sorts of things. But there wasn't as much life as there used to be. I don't know if they dry ship it over now, whereas they used to wet it. I don't know, but it's not the same. And you can't, I've not seen it for ages. I've not been looking, so maybe I've just missed it. But
so what, the other thing that I've been doing is the tank is very different now to how it was a month ago, how it was before I obviously blacked it out. It's very different. So there's loads of microfauna, or you can see it all in the sand. I just thought to myself, you know what? I'm going to start adding microfauna from the coral farm into the water box. So I put bristle worms in there. For all those people out there out trying to catch your bristle worms, I've just put them in because the more little mouths that there are to eat stuff, the better. And bristle worms are not bad. So just to clarify, because a lot of people think they're a pest, don't they?
I don't get that. They can get quite big, but they're not They're not a pest. And like, if some people get plagues of them, they say. I always wonder if they're exaggerating. But if you've got plagues of them, it's probably because you're feeding too much, or your sand is too dirty, or whatever. But I find that the only time I ever see them is if I've got a little zoa rock, for example. Yeah. If I lift it up, they'll all be underneath there. So that's the only times I see them.
Yeah,
and they probably come out at night. But
they're not. Like, I get stung by them pretty regularly, but you just get used to it. So I don't think
I've ever been like bristled.
Never had it.
No,
well, it's more like itchy than anything else. It's not like a thing. It's more like itchiness. You can literally get sellotape, put the sellotape on it, and then just pull them all out in one go.
I have had a couple of fish bite bristle worms, and then they're like going, and you can see they've got bristles stuck in their mouth.
Yeah.
It's the mistake they only make once.
Yeah, I've had that before as well. So I added some stomatellas. I've not added any Asterina starfish. But what I've realized is I'm being too precious with that tank. I'm being too, like, not wanting to get anything in it. And every time I add a snail, I'm like, what am I adding just in case? Mm. I just think, you know what? Whatever happens, I'll deal with it, and stuff will get in it anyway, if you see what I mean.
Eventually. Oh, completely. Yeah, yeah.
Eventually, so I'm not caring, but I just think everything in the coral farm gets dipped. Everything, I have things in there to try to deal with any pests. And if any pests get in the water box tank, I'll just have stuff to deal with them in there.
Completely. So my attitude has completely shifted from the first 5 years in the hobby to the most recent 5 years. I used to think, I don't want to get anything. I don't want to get a rock with Aptasia and put it in there. I was paranoid about getting anything nasty in there. Whereas now, because I've set up a few tanks and I've learned how to deal with stuff, there is nothing except for like Monty Nudies.
Monty Nudies are not that difficult to keep under control, as far as I know.
Getting rid of, anyway, so there's nothing apart from maybe things like that that I think I can't get rid of. So like I was chatting on Ultimate Reef about that aquascape, and one thing with that aquascape I find is that it leaches phosphate. I can't be 100% certain.
Yeah.
But I bought four or maybe five of those, I think. And on two of the tanks, I've had a big spike in phosphate. Could be something else. I didn't do a scientific test, but I'm pretty sure it does leach out some phosphate. And I mentioned
all the rocks do.
A lot of them do. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But someone was like, why are you putting something in your tank that you know is going to increase your phosphate? Add something negative. And the answer is, it's just a bit of phosphate. I don't really care. When you mix up a batch of new salt water, test your phosphate in that, it'll be higher than you think. But phosphate you can deal with. And like I've got an Aptasia in this water box, same. I'm trying to get rid of them. Oh, I'll come back onto that. I'm trying to get rid of them, but I'm not, if I don't get rid of them, that's still going in my main tank. I don't care about Aptasia. I can deal with it. It's fine.
Yeah. I just,
there's not much.
For me, it's just cough band that will deal with that. But
yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's possibly. But I posted on Ultimate Reef Instagram earlier this week I was getting rid of an Aptasia.
Yeah, I saw this.
Yeah, and there was only one Aptasia, and I'm not going to play the song because I'll get demonetized. But this is Aptasia X. I'm just squirting in there. Oh God, is that lid on? Yeah. So this is the Aptasia X. I was squirting in there, and I just posted that 10-second clip onto Instagram for one reason, and that's because I wanted to play the song Kim, where Eminem's going, bleed, bitch, bleed, because it's satisfying killing an Aptasia.
Don't close that down. Have you ever considered dealing with those Asterinas?
I know. I was waiting.
You've got
someone...
more Asterinas there than rock.
No, a couple of people did comment on that, and I thought someone would do when I posted it, but there's a lot there, isn't there? All I would say on that, though, is... millions of Asterinas and the tank is doing pretty good.
Oh, look, this Reef Aquarium Store is inspired by you again. I think he needs to get a new form of inspiration if you're showing this with all those Asterinas.
Yeah, there you go. But I posted that just because I had this one big Aptasia and I wanted to get rid of it. And what my plan was originally was to put some Bergia nudibranchs in there. And I'd been talking to a guy who had a load who unfortunately doesn't have any more now. But I said this last week. He mentioned that he once saw Aptasia eating the Bergias. So my plan was, look, let's just kill the biggest one, and then I'll put some Bergias in, and then they'll do the job on the rest. But I got a load of comments on that one saying, that's just a temporary solution. this means your population is going to explode, all this sort of stuff. And I wasn't posting that video to say, hey, look, Aptasia X is fantastic. I thought it was funny. But I think as anything to kill Aptasia is a little bit difficult to completely eradicate.
Yeah.
But it's not normally a one-time application. So if I put that Aptasia X in, that's not going to be the end of it. I need to do something else. And whether that's getting Bergy and Nudibranchs, peppermint shrimp, a copper band, whatever, or just factoring that into your regular maintenance and using that stuff, or Joe's juice or F Aptasia once a month or whatever, it's kind of an ongoing thing. And there's nothing that I've ever come across that you can just put, you do once and it kills off all the Aptasia. Because as much as anything, I know there are at least two Aptasia in there. That one now is disappeared, but it's probably just moved. It probably hasn't completely died. So I can see two. That doesn't mean there's only two in there.
Yeah, of course.
So I could kill those two, and then there'd be more elsewhere. So but.
Every single shop and most tanks that are over like probably a year old will have in some capacity, probably. Yeah. It's funny because I look back now, I just think that. So I never had Aptasia ever in my 1,000-liter tank.
That's so bizarre.
So I had that for so long. Like that was probably 10 years worth of reefing, if you see what I mean, and not a single Aptasia ever went in. And so I always feared it. And then now I'm just like, you know, something like it's not a big deal. And there are worse things.
If you let it get out of hand, it can be a complete pain in the backside, to be fair. But if you don't, and you just deal with it, whether that's with peppermint shrimp or whatever, then it's fine.
Yeah, I agree.
And there's one last thing on that point. Oh no, hang on a second. Let me share it. Let me find it. No.
Where is it?
this one. There we go. Right. So. This is my water box tank. And in the top corner there, what's that?
It's a fungia.
It is a green and orange fungia that I found at Maidenhead Aquatics.
It just looked orange when you sent me a picture of it.
Oh, it was in the bag and it was under natural light. But yeah, it's a really nice green and orange fungia that I got from Maidenhead Woking. Every now and then, Maidenhead Woking has some really nice stuff in. And it was 79 quid, which I think is a fair price for a bargain. Nice... Exactly, for a nice
that is an absolute like bargain for that.
the point I was wanted to make is that I was influenced. You're an influencer, Ryan, as we know, that was the car of the week last week, and I was like, do you know what? I'm going to go and buy a fungia. So
you didn't buy one from me though, did you? Although there's none on my website.
Otherwise,
I got two in the farm, but they're not on the website.
Okay, well, if you get nice ones in, you know, just shout.
One of them keeps reproducing babies, so that's why I'm keeping that one.
That's really cool.
It is cool. It's had a few.
You could sell a little like 1 centimeter fungi as well. That'd be wicked.
Obviously they start tiny thing. It actually came from a shop originally, the piece. So the shop had, you might have seen this before, where you see the dead mother colony of the fungi, and then all these little baby ones growing on top of it.
No, that's cool.
Yeah, that's what happens. So basically, the skeleton, if you ever, like, if a fungi ever dies, don't throw it away. Although I've only ever seen a specific type do it. It's usually, they're green with an orange mouth. It's the only ones I've ever seen doing it. On the dead skeleton, all these little stalks start to grow, and then little babies, hundreds of them, start to grow off those little stalks. The shop cut off one of the little stalks for me and gave me the stalk. And then that little stalk has kept producing babies since then.
That is really cool.
It was nice of the shop to do it, to be fair, because obviously you think about it, they could have just kept doing it themselves.
Yeah.
But it's a cool thing. And then eventually that big fungi falls off. It just walks off and the stalk's still there. And then another one grows.
I love that. And I love the idea of a small, on a frag plug, fungia, that's wicked.
Yeah, you get little tiny ones. I have a catalophilia as well, which is about this big, which I know you wanted. It's a green one. It's about this big. It's tiny. I've got a small one and I've got one that's probably a bit bigger.
I'm cashing in my 200 quid prestige revoucher.
Well, it was funny because that cost exactly
that's like 10 quid. It's on size, so you know. That's really cool. How quick do the fungias grow?
They grow surprisingly fast.
Yeah.
These ones. The current one I've got, though, is now about this big. It's massive.
Okay, so, fist size.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. I have sold a few of them off, but that's the lot. That's the... For some reason, because I grow them myself, they have, like, sentimental value to me. It's ridiculous. And it's not like a Monty where you can just frag it and then and you just get another piece, because it's an LPS card. Right. It's quite unusual.
It's an individual baby almost.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
There's like also some rainbow fungies do it as well, I think. I've seen someone sold me a load of rainbow fungies once. And they were all little tiny, tiny pieces.
That's so cool. Yeah. I love that.
I look back actually a couple of days ago at how far the coral farm has come since I like started it, and how I started one tank and then I did it one tank at a time as I was filling it up. So Brian's getting broody. Someone find him a partner. Tell me about it. So
what methods of could you employ? Well, you need to think outside the box in terms of how you get a partner.
I've already told you.
You got any ideas as to how you could do that?
Me? Yeah. I know what you're asking.
Yeah, you do.
I told Alex, and this is actually true. This is not an exaggeration. Yeah. Some people will think that this, and I've told my friends everything. There is a £5,000 reward for the person who finds me my very specific wife. Yeah, not girlfriend. The person I end up with, there is a £5,000 reward for it. Alex will confirm that is not a joke or an exaggeration or anything. I'm actually being serious. I am a very, very incredibly lucky man. I have everything that I want in life except someone to share it with. So, and I've done all sorts of crazy things, and Alex has said to mention it here. So there'll be some of you who would currently be looking at your girlfriends going,
How much is she worth?
See,
or girlfriends looking at their boyfriends going,
When I offered this to Alex, probably about 2 months ago, or when I told Alex this, is, as I said, this is a real offer. When I said to Alex, we're at the pub, weren't we? And you got your little black book out, and firstly, some moths flew out of it, didn't they? And then there were just two names in it. The first one was obviously Mrs. Reef Dog. And the second one was, I was a bit confused because it just says Hugo. And then I thought to myself, well, that's odd. So I asked you and you went, oh no, Hugo's my cardiologist. And that made sense because Alex had his name like this in a heart. So obviously, you know, it was your cardiologist, wasn't it?
What the hell are you talking about? Why would I have a cardiologist?
No, in your little black book, I'm trying to make out you had a guy called Hugo in your little black dating book.
Right, I see. Yeah. Is a cardiologist a heart doctor?
I'm pretty sure a cardiologist is a heart doctor.
You're right. I haven't got a cardiologist. Okay, no. Anyway, good one. There's a bloke in my little black book.
Yes. Whee! There you go.
But anyway, so in this means if you at home find someone everyone's got friends, so if you want to introduce them to Ryan, obviously you'll be inflicting pain on that person.
True.
But Ryan will pay you $5,000.
Let them know about the coral farm as well, because obviously,
yeah, so if you want to pimp out any of your mates for money.
The funny thing is, I have done some crazy things to meet women. Obviously, I hired a dog walker, despite the fact I didn't have a dog, and I obviously flew to America to go meet Mindy, and both of those worked. So there is a possibility this might work.
The dog walker thing is how you met me, saltwater tank, right?
It was, yeah. Yeah, that was how I met her. Yeah. So, and I didn't have a dog, but I borrowed my parents.
So there you go. So that's a genuine offer.
Yeah. So I'm glad you forced me to say this. But yeah, look, you never know. Is there an age limit? Of course there's an age limit. But look, technically, Mindy was 10 years older than me, I think. No, she was more than that. I think she was 12 years older than me. I'll be in trouble. Anyway, we should probably move on. My wife says you should join us as a throuple. This is going badly wrong. The reason this is not technically a bad idea to say it here is because it's usually love the shade of red he's turned. About 7,000 people watch the live stream and listen to the podcast. Is that correct?
But yeah, about that. Yeah,
yeah, about 7,000. If you all know five people, you know. Firstly, you know, I only know Reef Talk, so I'm stuck with his ideas. But think about how many people that is. This live stream's taken a turn. Jamie was there, I think, when I offered it, or maybe not.
Anyway, so there you go.
Yeah.
If you want to pimp out any of your mates,
there you go,
and do it.
Because Reef Dog will take his cut. You're going to want a cut of this, aren't you?
I don't get a cut for this. No, I don't get a cut for this. I only get a cut if I introduce you.
That's true. That's true. You just want me to be happy, don't you?
Yeah, and $5,000 would be nice as well. So
that's true.
But yeah.
So, anyway,
moving back onto reefing.
Yeah.
So Will M has done a super chat. Thanks very much. He says, silly question. No such thing as a silly question. Is it normal for new white Marco rock to turn green in a reef system? I have no hair algae and was just curious. Yes, it is.
Yeah, I don't know why it does that.
It was algae.
Yeah, but so why is it that rock goes a very specific green, I think.
Particular rock.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. So the rock in the water box at the moment obviously is natural rock, but that's not the green that the Marco rock or those rocks go. That's like a dark green. That's quite a bright green. I've seen it myself. It looks unnatural.
Okay. So I've had plenty of rock that starts white and goes green. In my reef casa, it's gone green. But yeah, it's algae. Get an urchin and it will stop it going.
It will then just go white.
Yeah, and then the urchin will start moving your corals around, little bastard. Watch out, Aqua. Aqua.
Yeah, I saw that.
And JB makes a very good point. Why do you want to make your life miserable and get married?
I'll pay you to take my misses. This live stream has taken a very... Plus, think about the benefit, not just the money. Yeah, you have now very closely linked to someone who has a coral farm. You can have all the corals you can ever want.
It's very true.
So,
but there we go. Did you have anything else to talk about in your week in reefing?
I will do it next week because obviously I've got a load of coral coming for an 8-foot tank tomorrow. But I don't really know very much about it. So I will be able to fill you in next week.
Interesting. Well, in which case, yeah, so take photos as well, because I'd like to see what you get.
Yeah, of course.
What was I going to say? Right, so that means we are now on to member questions. Oh, no, I don't share the member questions. I just read them out, don't I?
True,
yeah. Oh, God's sake, Alex. The Crusade says, what is your most... So this is a question that is kind of... It's a bit of an oxymoron. It says, what is your most regretted coral, but you wouldn't change it? Any coral that I regret, I would change. So I kind of know where you're going with that crusade, but I couldn't think of any. The closest I could think of was Tropic Thunder, because I hated that. And it was a nice coral, but I still hated it.
Would I not change it? I would not change what I did. So I had, this was a long time ago, I had a really nice trackie. This was before you got really nice trackies. They were just like green. Before, and then I had a pink one, and I put it on the sand, and I had a Galaxia. So, and the Galaxia got too close, basically. So I regret buying that coral because I think it was like £350 at the time. It was a lot of money. Jeez, yeah,
for Galaxia.
No, for the trackie.
Oh, sorry. Right. Yeah.
If you tried to show them your biceps, this is
that James. That's an excellent shout, actually.
So yeah.
That's why.
What's why?
Ah, that's why you've been going wrong this whole time.
True.
Because you've not done the flexing. So do it now. Ryan.
No, that's how I'm reading the comments. He's got most of his teeth. I feel like because I didn't have a lot to say in Week of Reefing, this took a it took a term, and then obviously I went red, which I didn't expect to do.
All right, so that's it. So that's your
yeah. So I would say I would regret placing the Galaxia that close. Although I actually sell a lot of Galaxia, so yeah.
Okay.
Start wearing vests.
Start wearing vests. These are your dates, yeah. String vests. How do you know? Next question is from Edward, who says, "Have you ever lost a coral?" and this means like physically misplaced. I moved a stressed Monty onto a frag rack, but didn't secure it. 2 days later, gone. Not underneath or anywhere close. Did my goby move it? So if you got an urchin, it was probably him. I've lost loads of corals to urchins.
Yeah, zoas as well sometimes will just go missing. Oh. Mushrooms, oh my God. The amount of like bounce mushrooms that have you put there and then he like that then like float off and disappear and you're like, oh, because they're expensive, obviously, bounce mushrooms. So yeah, those would be one of them. There is, in the farm, there is a freak hair pavona. And that has and a little piece of that. Have I ever showed you this?
I've seen it, but I don't think you've shown me
it. Where it's fallen below the tray and it's got a light, a sliver, like the tiniest, tiny bit of light that shines through the frag rack and it's growing. The pod must be like literally one and it grows better than the freak hair that's in the light because it's obviously getting too much light. So yeah, that's a mushroom that has obviously not a mushroom, that's a coral that went missing, but it's still growing basically.
Yeah, I've lost loads of corals. And did your goby move it? Possibly. Fish tend to bury stuff more than move it. Clowns move stuff around. Urchins are a nightmare for that. I bought I spent like 60, 70 quid on a single polyp of zoa once. Can't remember what it was, but it had only been fragged like very recently, maybe a week ago. And so it was on this bright white frag plug and an urchin just ripped it off and stole it. And I saw it, he was around the back of my rock shape. I saw it on his back, but I couldn't get it. And then the next time I saw him, it disappeared.
But yeah. What about fish that have eaten coral rather than...
yeah.
Because then it goes missing as well.
This is true. But I think he's lost his Monty frag and wondering where it went. But yeah, fish are quite clumsy sometimes and they can bash into it. Sometimes they'll swim away quickly to get out of trouble or whatever and knock corals over. I've come down and found like half my colony broken off in half, just sat on the sandbed. It's like, guys, can you be a bit more careful, please? That was expensive. But yeah, it could have been your goby. Fish tend to bury stuff. If you've got an urchin, look in that direction. The Crusade again says, finally getting a coral, read this properly. Finally getting a coral you love only to have one of your fish nip at it. Yeah. Question is, move the fish that you've had for years or the coral? Well, question only you can answer. Which do you want more? If you've got to move one. If a fish starts nipping at it, it's probably not going to stop nipping at it.
It's not just that. It also potentially can nip anything else as well. Yes. Yeah. So... fish with me, usually, if they start nipping, they have to go. It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
Because the chances are they'll nip something else eventually.
Even if this guy's had it for years, the particular fish. You're quite sentimental with fish, aren't you?
Yeah, but I've definitely said this before. I had seven angel fish, and they were all in one tank, and they were all completely fine until one of the coral beauties started eating coral, and then it was like a free-for-all where they all started eating coral.
Yeah, okay, so they all went.
So they all had to go, yeah. So
I would move the fish on as well, yeah.
Yeah.
Probably. Unless it was a really nice fish, but yeah. I'd probably move the fish on. I think that's a fair answer. And finally, Richie's Reef says, oh yeah, I just wanted to say that the PNW micro reef is a really, this was that tiny little 1 liter tank or whatever it was that I was panning last week. No, yeah. He says it's a really fun little tank. If you also have a main display tank, you can do 100% water changes from once per week. I've had mine for 2 years now and spend just 10 minutes a week maintaining it. I just keep frags in there and absolutely no fish or inverts. Last week, live stream, the tank took a hammering, so I wanted to defend it, lol. yeah, I still don't like it. But it's cool that it's cool. And he's had it for 2 years, I think. So that's cool that he's had long-term success. So
yeah,
there you go. But cool. So that is the member questions, which means we're on to the Prestige Reef Fish of the Week.
I do have a fish of the week this week. I haven't told you. I'm going for a swallow-tailed angelfish. Just a normal swallow-tailed angelfish.
Yeah. Swallow-tailed.
Not a fancy one.
Not the Japanese one.
No, not the Japanese
one. I like these.
Yeah, because one of the people in the consultations was asking me about angelfish, and I just said, look, if you want to have an angelfish that... I mean, they don't really look like other angelfish, if you think about it.
Totally different. These are the... anything Genacanthus looks a bit funny.
So they might as well not be called angelfish, if you see what I mean. They might.
Yeah. They've got like the same. They've got the same face, haven't they?
Yes.
But they just think.
Do they?
Yeah, I think they've got like the same lips.
I think it's the face. The body's the same. I think it's the face that's different. They've got this colors. Sort of, like, narrow.
Okay.
Like lips, whereas I think angelfish normally have. Maybe not actually. No, I'm not sure.
Anyway, they do look very different. I think the colours is the main thing, personally. But whatever, yeah. they do look very different. But the swallowtail is your choice.
So yes, so the females will. You hardly ever see males for some reason, and I worked out why. It's because the females turn into males, eventually. Right, okay. But you know what? What's interesting? They can turn back, which is quite unusual. With fish. So clownfish, obviously, when the male turns into a female, it stays that way. Whereas with these, they can go backwards.
Interesting. So, I didn't know that. You learn something new every day.
I think Jamie has one, has a pair, which is now two females.
Oh, no. But if they're two females, they probably get on, right? They don't fight. Whereas if it's two males, they'll fight.
I actually don't know. I have to ask him, But yeah, he had a male and a female pair, and then the male then turned into a female. And I've seen that happen a few times.
The female, I think, is better looking than the male.
Not reef safe. That is interesting. Because they're well known for being like reef safe.
Yeah. Philip, explain. Because they're Genacanthus, and Genacanthus don't, they're deep water, or there's some reason that they don't eat them. But have you had, Philip, have you had one that's has pecked coral then? And have you actually seen it eating it? I want proof. Yeah. Besmirching his good name otherwise.
Yeah.
I think the females, these look cool, but they don't look cool enough for me to buy them. Whereas the Japanese one, look at that.
Look at that. Oh, yeah, that's the ugly. What is wrong with you? Why do you like the female one?
I mean, I'm going to record that and put it on Instagram later. But look at that. Like,
we did a poll for this once and you lost.
Yeah,
because the male is way nicer than the female.
No, that's a really cool fish to me. But anyway, so Genacanthus is your fish of the week. Swallowtail is your fish of the week.
Yes, correct. And the. The coral of the week is, you've seen what the last message, we've had that a few times today. The coral of the week is a funny farm Leptoceras.
Hang on, we've got a response from Philip. He says, ripped his Duncan to bits.
Not good.
I'm still going to work on.
We need photographic evidence.
Exactly. That's the first person I've ever heard say Genacanthus angel eat a coral.
I have a sailfin.
Oh, yeah. I'm not saying it didn't happen.
Which eats coral. So
if you've had the same experience, post it in the chat because it'd be interesting to know. Coral of the week, sorry. Funny Farm Leptoceras.
Funny Farm Leptoceras. Now, this is a bit weird because it doesn't really look like a normal Leptoceras. And we had this discussion, didn't we, earlier?
Yeah. Much more like a Leptostraya.
Yeah, and I have always thought that, but it has always been named as a Leptoceras. So this is
your website. If I do an image search on Google, and they're all your photos actually. That looks like a Leptoceras to me.
They look the same.
No, they don't.
That photo looks the same. It's like it's a slight different coloration. If I alter the colors in Photoshop, I can make it look like that.
So it doesn't look the same then.
It looks like the same coral.
That photo, those two photos do not look the same. That coral in your tank, to your eyes, might look the same as that, but those two photos don't look the same.
That photo there isn't what it looks like. But you can. It's mainly like the lashes on it. So Leptoceras don't have those lashes. In fact, if you look down just from that picture, there's two other pictures of Leptoceras I have. Neither of them have those little lashes on them.
No. They have very small lashes, but you have to look closely. In fact, you can see them there, but you got to look really close. But anyway.
So, the reason I decided to pick that one, but just because it's odd, and I've always wondered what it actually is, but I was always told it was a Leptoceras.
And they are not just, I know that you'll hate this, but they are $19.99 and they are currently in stock on your website.
Oh, you're trying to be an influencer, are you?
Yeah, I am. But influencing doesn't work when you just say, go and buy this.
Sometimes it
works. It works when you're like, oh, the color of the week is a fungia. And then I'm like, oh, let's go and find a fungia.
Yeah.
You need to,
yeah.
People need to be able to work on stuff themselves.
True. True.
Anyway, so that's the fish and color of the week. Which is that it? Anything else to tell me about the funny farm?
No, that's it as far as I'm concerned. It's a really good grower. It's really bright. The only downside to it is it's green. So
everything's like, bloody green, yeah.
I know. So it's a shame because I wouldn't say it was one of my most popular sellers. I sell bits of it occasionally, but it's just, I think it's one of the nicest green corals you can get, if you see what, like as an encrusting coral. Because think about it, that compared to like a Monty, like an encrusting Monty or something, that's got like a more of like a metallic color to it. No. But I just think it's one of the corals which I think is personally nice, but gets neglected because it's green.
Because it's boring. If I'm completely honest, I don't like that coral.
It's toxic colored.
No, it's not.
It is. Look, the reason my pictures look like that is because of you.
Yeah, that's better than they did when you were taking photos on your iPhone.
That's true.
To me, that's boring, to be completely honest. I'm sure it's nice and hardy and it's a bit different, which is cool.
Great way of being an influencer. It's boring.
It is. But that's the thing. I'm not interested in telling people to go and buy something that I think is rubbish. I'll tell you, like, and just because I say I don't like that doesn't mean anyone else should.
Look at the last comment.
If it was great, Alex. I'm not colorblind. Start off, all of you. Ryan's fault is his.
I started that probably over a year ago. No, technically, right. You started that because you said that Sunset Montipora was red and green.
It is red and green. Let's do the news. It is red and green. This just in, Sunset Monty is red and green. It's kind of orangey red. So news, yeah, reefing news. Nope. Reefing news. First piece of reefing news. I discovered a new channel, which I mentioned earlier.
Okay, yeah.
It is Lolouse. Lolouse. It's this guy. And he set up it's a water box, marine 60.2. So it's a little 2-foot cube, basically. And he's very good. He's very funny. So he's not. He's just very funny. He's like a. If he wasn't doing saltwater stuff, if I didn't run a reef tank, I probably wouldn't have a YouTube channel. If this guy didn't have a reef tank, he'd be doing something else. He's just good, entertaining, bloke, really funny. I would recommend watching him. Lolaus, and he currently has 600 subscribers. Come back when he's got 1 million. Because he's funny. Next up is, this is from an update on Aqua.
Oh, I don't know this.
This is from Aqua is the big coral show in the UK that's upcoming on the 21st to 22nd of September. Tickets are available for £12. I'm not selling them. I'm just saying. tickets are available for £12, which is a bargain for a day at a coral show. That's an absolute friggin' steal.
Yeah.
And they've added a new exhibitor this week, and it is Future Frags, which is based in a shop based in Stoke-on-Trent, I believe.
Oh, yeah, I know them.
And Aqua H is, for those of you who don't know, it's in the Midlands. It's going to be in Kenilworth, which is near Coventry, basically. So really easy for everybody to get to. It's a big conference centre. It's going to be wicked. It's all sorts of pets and fish and reptiles and all that sort of stuff. But there's loads of corals and saltwater fish there. Future Frags is going to be there. So that's another coral vendor. Now that makes, I think, three, by my last count, coral vendors. One is Future Frags. The other is, I wrote it down, but I can't see it now. Hang on, let me just delete that so I can see the rest of it. Tees Reef was the other one, which is in Birmingham, and then AAC. So there are three coral vendors. And that was the big thing that people... Oh, and Radical Aquatics, four. And that was the big thing before. Everyone was saying, if I can't buy corals, what's the point? Which I think is fair enough. And now
you notice that the people that are nearer the show are the ones that are... Although AAC's not, but...
AAC isn't, and Radical Aquatics isn't. They're based in Yorkshire.
I didn't know that.
Tees Reef is close, and Stoke-on-Trent, to me, that's north. I think that's technically Midlands.
Yeah.
But that's still a bit of a mission. So, but anyway, well done for signing up Future Frags. It'd be good for, I'll come and say hello. It'd be good to see you there. Hope you bring lots of spicy stuff. So that is the second piece of news. Third piece of news. Do you remember Chummingham's reef?
Yeah.
The guy with the trough. This trough.
Yes. It's amazing, yeah. That tank.
It's at the corals. This is a bad photo. I think this is probably an iPhone photo. No, I'm not. Sorry, Chummingham. I don't mean to knock your photography. But what I mean is the corals in that tank, this does not do that justice. The corals in the tank are insane. He's shutting down and selling all of them. So if you live in the States, where does he live? I can't remember. He did say, if you live in the States, he's in Chicago, you can go and buy his corals now. He's shutting down over the next 2 months and he's moving to California. He's not getting out of the hobby. Yeah, he's moving for work. So he's moving to Cali and he'll be setting up again.
Yeah.
But this is a pretty unique opportunity to own some of his amazing corals.
Imagine how much money he could get from that if he sells it.
But he's under time pressure, so I don't know if he'll. I don't know if he'll get to a point where he's like, you know what, I just got to get rid of everything.
True.
But whatever. That's a really good opportunity if you live anywhere near Chicago. Go on Instagram, give him a shout, and go and buy some of his corals. And you get to see the tank as well, which would be pretty cool in itself.
Sure.
So that is Chummingham's reef. Oh, Jeremy Gay, friend of the show, and all round good egg. Basically, he's one of the type of people in the industry who's very good for the hobby. I think.
Yeah.
A good advocate for the hobby. He has joined OATA, which is the Ornamental Aquatic Trade Association in the UK, and he's joined their New Blood scheme. Basically, they bring in new blood to Arata, and he gets a chair at the table to and he has input at board meetings. I think is basically that kind of idea, and this is him, and so he's joined the Arata, which is great news, I think, and well done, Jeremy. Look forward to hearing what comes of that, but well done. Next up, did you see a weird noise?
I did hear a weird noise. I assumed it was you.
There was like a ghost going, ah.
I didn't hear that. I just heard, whoop.
That was really weird. Anyway, we'll carry on. If I get taken away by a ghost, then, you know, call the Ghostbusters. I watched that the other night. It was really good. I bet you haven't seen Ghostbusters, have you?
Of course not.
Oh, you're such a moron. Who could not watch Ghostbusters?
This is getting personal now, isn't it?
Ah, go and watch it now. Anyway, right, news. Next up on the news is...
Next up on the news, you're such a moron.
I know, yeah. There's a... So Ultimate Reef has... Ultimate Reef is the UK's biggest marine forum. And I was going to say they started up a new Facebook page. That's actually not strictly true. They haven't started up a new Facebook page. They've had a Facebook page for ages. If you don't know, this is what it looks like. They've just rebranded it and sort of rebranded it. And so they've got a new fancy logo, all this sort of stuff. And they're going to be posting on there more often. And so go and check out the Ultimate Reef Facebook page. There's some interesting stuff, and I think the idea is that they'll post lots of the more interesting conversations. So if you don't go on Ultimate Reef all the time, join the Facebook page, and every now and then you'll see some interesting conversations that you can go and click on and go and have a look. Next up, this was do you use activated carbon, Ryan?
Yes, I use Red Seas one.
Oh, you're in trouble. Look at this guy.
I think I saw this.
Yeah. So this passed me by. This was over a week ago, actually. But this is a Triton. This was in Europe somewhere, the Triton lab in Europe somewhere. Can't remember where it was. So they've seen an uptick in, and let me read, I'll make sure I'm getting this right, because otherwise I'll say the wrong thing. But they've seen an uptick in certain elements, harmful pollutants, that they think is caused by activated carbon. It's not one particular brand of activated carbon. It's all sorts. And so if you get, and this was recently, and they've seen it from the UK and the US and also Germany noticeably. They haven't seen it in Australia, but they think that's probably just because they don't get so much from Australia because it's not based over there. I don't know, whatever. But anyway, they've seen elevated levels of barium, copper and silicon. And they all think it's been caused by activated carbon. And they put out that video that I just showed a screenshot of, where he's saying, look, this is what we've seen. It's causing real problems. It can cause a wipeout. Elevated levels of copper, of course, would be a disaster. So just be careful. And if you see elevated levels of barium, copper, or silicon in your ICP tests at the moment, yeah, have a think about whether it might be activated carbon.
I actually just did an ICP test and there was no carbon on either of the systems. So
excellent. Well, I should hope not. But that's, and they said that it's that partly because the cost of since the war in Ukraine, the cost of activated carbon has gone up.
Yeah.
But people don't want to pay increased prices. So the manufacturers are cutting back maybe and that sort of thing. So,
it actually told me to dose copper. I'm like, yeah, no.
I know. There's no way I would ever dose copper. But yeah. But there you go. So they
just feels wrong, doesn't it?
Yeah, completely. And I mean, but corals need ammonia. I'm not going to start dosing ammonia. Yeah. They need all sorts. But anyway, whatever. But yeah, so they've noticed a spike in the last 2 or 3 months. So there you go. So watch out for that. And if you've got if your tank is dying, and you've done all your other tests, you've checked salinity, you've checked magnesium, calcium, all that stuff. And you still can't find anything, then send off an ICP test and see what it is.
Yeah.
Why are you looking confused?
No, I'm not. I'm not. It's fine.
Okay.
We seem to have a new number one fan. We seem to get lots and lots of messages from one person.
You're so inspiring. I am inspiring. Yeah, to be fair.
That was why I was looking confused.
That's why you're laughing. Yeah. anyway, so more news. TM Lights, Ryan. Good news. There's a new light.
Good. A new light, exciting.
Watch him gloss over. Hang on. Me and you guys, we'll talk. And Ryan, you know, have a nap. So this is from TMC, and it's the Aquaray P5 and P9, which sounds more like a tax form to me than anything else. But anyway, and they are, were they 50 watts and 100 watts or 50 watts and 90 watts? 50 watts and 90 watts. They look like, they've got little pucks, they've got a Kessel-style puck, so I would guess they're good at shimmer. And they are £220 and £300 respectively, which is keenly priced but not mega cheap. 90 watts for £300, a Radeon XR15 is about 100 watts, about the same kind of thing. And how much is a Radeon XR15? That's £300. I've got a feeling an XR15 is probably 350, maybe it's a bit more. XR15, talk amongst yourselves, guys. 420. Bloody hell, that's gone up. Okay, so it's quite keenly priced. £300 for a 100-watt light, and it looks like it will have good shimmer. I can't tell you if it will have good shimmer. The only thing it doesn't say on this... it's got some weird artificial intelligence in the app.
It's interesting. All of a sudden, you've piqued my interest.
Yeah, I should have led with that, shouldn't I? So actually, first off, normally TMC, they do OEM stuff where they get another manufacturer like Zetlite or whatever, and they rebadge it and they change the app or whatever. But it doesn't say who the OEM, the original manufacturer is of this light, but it probably won't be TMC. Maybe it is. I don't know. But anyway, yeah, this app is called Favian. It uses artificial intelligence to do things like I think this is really helpful for beginners potentially, because it will say, it looks quite confusing. And well, I say confusing, it looks busy to me. And I don't think I could be asked to do this level of input, but you tell it what fish you've just put in. And then you tell it what next time you buy a coral, you tell it when you buy a coral, and it will say, oh, did you know you've just put a yellow long-nosed butterfly in with an Acan? Yellow long-nosed butterfly might eat Acan. You want to watch out for
that. Look, that is actually quite clever.
Very useful for I wouldn't bother using that, to be honest. It's too much. I don't want to do the data entry, but if you're new to the hobby, yeah. And so Jeremy Gay wrote this article. He said he tested it with a few things, and I think he said he was going to put in a frogfish and a clownfish or something, and it said all the frogfish might eat the clownfish, so it works.
I'm going to read the article now, because that's anything that can increase the success rate of especially beginners in this hobby.
Yeah.
Why do people say I've checked out? I'm still engaging. I'm still intrigued.
You had checked out. You're back now.
I did. Yeah, you can always tell. It's so mean. I can't help it. I will read the article because I actually think that's quite interesting. Because, yeah. I mean, does it need to be a light that does it for you, or could it
This is the app basically, and the point is, so the light connects to the app, but actually the app does all sorts of other things as well. It just makes it simple for you, so you can connect your TMC pumps, your return pump, your dosing pumps, all that stuff to it. So
now I'm just openly yawning.
I know, but yeah, it's interesting. It does all these things for you, and yeah, if you're a newbie and you can be bothered to tell it every time you buy a new piece of a new coral or fish or whatever, then cool, it will tell you, it'll help you.
Yeah.
But then this is what it looks like. It's called Favia, which I'm sure there's a reason it's called Favia, but I couldn't work it out. But yeah, that's roughly what it looks like. This is what I mean when it looks a bit busy. But then looking busy and playing with it are two different things, and I bet it's easy to use when you actually play with it.
I've just realised it's an hour later than normal. We're streaming an hour later than normal, aren't we?
It's just true. That's it.
That's why I'm yawning.
Not because we're talking about lights. It's because...
There is that too. But yeah, that's probably why.
All right. Finally then, and this is potentially... Ryan might be interested in this. We'll have to see. There is a new... This is what I mentioned earlier. Red Sea have brought out a new dosing supplement thing. It's called Complete Reef Care.
So
I actually had a chat with Red Sea about this recently when I talked about the tank. And the idea is it's a four part, because you and the point is this: it's a four part dosing solution, and you have obviously they have a four head dosing pump. Hang on a second. Let me just fix this. How do I go solo? Oh no, I've got rid of the wrong person. There we go. Ryan's gone. I think we can still hear you, Ryan, but you're out of
sight. I prefer it like this, I think.
So it's a four part dosing solution, and the point is they sell a four head dosing pump. So the idea is you buy the two and they work together really well, and it's you work out your calcium uptake by dosing this stuff and then testing and that sort of stuff, and it comes in. What they say is it does calcium, alkalinity, magnesium, and trace elements, and it works it out so it will match the same uptake. So because what we were saying earlier, what's he doing? What we were saying earlier,
I feel like I'm being watched now.
What we were saying earlier is that if you're dosing two part dosing, it will never do, like calcium will go off and then your magnesium will go off and it's a pain in the backside.
Yeah.
With this, the theory is, this is what they say anyway, that it will all dose everything in equal parts. And they sell, all the bottles come in different sizes. So the alkalinity bottle, for example, is 4 liters. The calcium is 2 liters. And then the trace elements are 1 liter each. And the point of that is that they'll run out the same amount of time because those are the proportions they dose in.
Yeah, but different tanks use different things and different corals use different things. So every single manufacturer has said this was a complete solution. I just don't get it. Do you see what I mean?
I do. So the difference with this is because they say it's based on calcium uptake, and they reckon that if you work out your calcium uptake, everything else will be uptaken in proportions as well. And what they're saying is, so if you work that out, then everything will be... This will do it properly. So this is one step beyond just here's your two bottles. It's here's four bottles and you need to dose this amount. So that's the theory. Whether that actually works is another matter, but it's there. And if you want to try it, you can try it. If you don't want to try it, you don't want to try it. If you want to use Ryan's DIY dosing supplements, go and check out the live stream from a couple of weeks ago.
And I saw you put it on the Facebook group. We haven't mentioned the Facebook group in a long time. It's really active, I've noticed.
It's really active. I try to filter through it and pull some stuff out. And I did promise a month or so ago that what I was going to do was post all the equipment stories on the Facebook group and then pull up see what people were talking about. But I just find that I don't get around to doing that. But I do find that people post stories that they want to talk about. Sometimes I'll talk about them, sometimes I won't, but they chat about it. So, yeah.
Have you ever seen any negativity on there?
Once or twice, yeah.
I've never, ever, ever seen it. I wonder if you just get there first.
Yeah, I've blocked a couple of people, but literally, I think two, maybe. And
it's a really welcoming... Cool. Nice place is what I realized.
Yeah, it really is. And you don't get any nonsense. It's brilliant. No. 2,000 people, roughly.
Yeah, it's 2,000 now, thank you.
So thanks for being awesome. I've said that before, but... Yeah. And that means that is the end of the news.
Oh, I feel awake now.
We're not talking about... lights anymore. Does anyone actually play these live streams every night to fall asleep on Spotify, or am I just...
That's so mean. That's so mean. I hope you're only talking about the news bit, because if you are, that's me.
So I don't no, I don't. But it'd be weird if I played fell asleep to the sound of my own voice.
You do listen to them again though, don't you?
Yeah, I try. I listen back to I want to get the audio right, and it's not right at the moment. There's a thing in the podcast software called Magic Mastering that uses AI to adjust it, but it costs money, and I think it's better to get the input right than fiddle with that in post production. So I'm trying to get that right, and
you worry too much.
I just want it to be good. I don't want it to sound bad. Anyway, whatever.
True, with high quality content like that we produce, we need it to sound good.
Yeah, completely. Yeah, we need to make up for how unprofessional we are.
True.
Ryan, is there anything else you would like to add before we leave?
No, I think we've covered plenty this evening.
You're done. All right. Well, in which case, so it is later now because, you know, spring forward, fall back, all that sort of stuff. Clocks change this weekend. It's light. It was light at like 7:30 tonight.
Yeah, it was.
I love it. So anyway, thank you all for joining, guys. And we will see you next week. Happy Easter.
See you later.
Bye.
Bye.